Harper Audio presents Coolidge by Amity Schles, read by Terence Aselford. 1. Snowbound. Plymouth. They were the ones who stayed. They told themselves this as they trudged past the houses up the road to the old lot in the spring snow. The lot itself was a challenge. Farming there was especially difficult because the soil was too rocky. The hill curved up too steeply. For a period, the family had burned lime there, but the railroad had not chosen to come to Plymouth, and no one could get the lime out. Now, in the 1870s, they found themselves returning to the lime kiln lot for humbler, simpler harvests, wood or sugar. The logs could be sold by the cord. The lot lay above their farm, to the west, and sugar maples were plentiful there. In April, they tapped the trees. Their family fashioned the wooden buckets themselves, sometimes branding the bottom with their name in capital letters. They carried the buckets of sap to a sugar house, where it was heated and made into syrup. Each year, 800 to 2,000 pounds of maple syrup and hard sugar were produced this way. They liked the trees, which grew up with them like siblings or children. Others, even relatives, had deemed such harvests paltry. Those others had headed west to the Great Plains, where your prosperity unfurled before you, flat and vast, like a yellow carpet. But not John and Victoria Coolidge. If the land tested them, they liked that about it. The spring sugaring was only one part of an annual cycle of ingenuity, well established by the time John, of the fourth generation of Coolidges in Plymouth, became an adult in the 1860s. After the sugaring came other challenges, which one could lay out in a list beside the names of the months. Mend fences, shear sheep, weave, raise horses or puppies, get the cows to pasture, plant hay, get hay in. Even the level fields below the lot were tough to cultivate. Later, in fact, a study would show that not one acre of the land in Plymouth, the town of farmers, was truly arable. Still, the rhythm of the cycle kept them going. By autumn, they were slaughtering animals. The last to be slaughtered was a cow. There was always milking, summer or winter. But without a railroad, milk was like lime, hard to turn into money. Milk spoiled. To sell a calf or a peacock, they had to take it 12 miles by cart to Ludlow, where the depot was. Because nothing was ever quite sure, it was best to have a hand in everything. John Coolidge kept the small store at the center of the village. He also served as insurance agent, sheriff, tax collector, notary, everything a man could be in a town. John's wife, her full name was Victoria Josephine Moore Coolidge, gardened and sewed. His mother, Sarah, taught Sunday school, delivered babies, and did the weaving. His father, Calvin Galusha, had experimented with peacocks and horses. In 1863, Galusha put out to stud Young Arabian, a 15-hand bay with all the action and command of limb that a cat or greyhound is master of, for a fee of $10. Through his mother, Calvin Galusha claimed a trace of Indian blood, and in him there seemed to be the ingenuity of the Native Americans and the Puritans combined. The stage on which they lived their lives was small. Their house, 5 rooms behind the store. The 1842 church, with a pew for which Calvin Coolidge, John Coolidge's grandfather, had paid $31, a stone schoolhouse, and a few other farms. Beyond the store, a few dozen rods away, about 200 or 300 feet, lay the house of Calvin Galusha and his wife. Beyond that were the lakes, the river, and the 12-mile trip down the steep hill to Ludlow. In the old days, there had been cabins. Now the houses in Plymouth, Plymouth Union, and other hamlets in the area were mostly white clapboard with red barns. While the weather was still warm, John Coolidge and Calvin Galusha traveled about the county or the state, often on official business, but always keeping an eye out for new ways to gain a livelihood. There had been a gold rush in the area back in 1859, with several hundred miners converging on the town that June, claiming to find $4 to $8 worth a day. Disappointment had followed excitement. Gold is found upon the farm of Mr. Amos Pollard near Plymouth Pond, the paper in Ludlow, Massachusetts, had written. The metal is so diffused that it costs more to get it than it comes to.